Thank you. Wasn't that a blessing? Well, that's interesting. I hadn't communicated with those doing the special about what I was preaching on today. They hadn't communicated to me about what they were singing about. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter number 4, and we'll begin in verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse number 35. The title of the message is Christ with us in the storms of life. Christ with us in the storms of life. Begin reading verse number 35, Mark chapter number 4. In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And then notice this next phrase, because we'll bring this up again. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for the privilege we have to bring it today. We pray if someone is here that does not know that they know Christ as Savior, they'd get it settled, Lord. We know, Lord, that in order for Christ to be in the ship with us, we have to invite him in there. Lord, that we must receive him as Savior. We pray if someone is here that has not done that, they'd get settled today. Bless the time we'll have together. Speak to our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we talk about Christ being with us in the storms of life, we must understand that his protection of us has the most to do with our soul. Psalm 121, verse 1 through 8, this is a passage that I've read oftentimes with people before they go into surgery. May I add these words that I have read, I've always pointed this out to them that I'll mention in a moment. But I want you to understand this, there are people that I've prayed for that went through surgery well, and others who died. Didn't make it through. But this passage of Scripture is still relevant. Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But you're glad when we go to sleep, he's still awake. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Here it is, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, obviously, we're appointed once to die, according to Hebrews 9:27. So our body will not be preserved forever. Notice what it said there in verse number 8, that he will preserve us. And the last phrase says, even forevermore. Folks, we're all going to die unless the rapture occurs. And so we cannot claim this promise and say, Lord, I had this incident and my safety was at stake. Okay? Remember this. all the apostles except for the apostle John died a martyr's death. But it was his soul that he promised to keep, or they that he promised to keep their soul. So our body will not be preserved forever, but our soul will be. And then at last, at the rapture, we'll receive a glorified body, resurrected glorified body that cannot sin, cannot get sick, and cannot die. But in this present life, these promises from God about our safety have to do mainly with our soul. Harvey Gilmore said it this way: my soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress. And I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. The chorus says, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. They sang part of this song. Horatio Spafford said it like this: after passing over the place where the rest of his family on a previous trip across the Atlantic had gone down and drowned, he wrote these words when he crossed over: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Many years ago, at the time of the sinking of the Titanic, one of the great American preachers, his name is not given in this article, was in Belfast, Ireland. And there was a great local pride over the mighty ship. She had been heralded far and wide as the unsinkable ship. 16 members of the church in Belfast, all skilled mechanics, went down with her. The mayor said that Belfast had never been in such grief as that which came over this terrible tragedy. And the news finally was verified that the gallant ship was certainly lost. So deep was the grief that it is said strong men met upon the streets, grasped each other's hands, burst into tears, and parted without a word. A visiting American preached the Sunday after the tragedy in the church to which the 16 members had been lost belonged. Not only was the building packed with people, but on the platform were lords, bishops, and ministers of all denominations. In the audience, many newly made widows were sitting, and orphans were sobbing on every side. The great preacher took as his subject the unsinkable ship, but he did not apply that term to the Titanic, which on her first voyage had gone out into the Atlantic and crashed into an iceberg, carrying her precious cargo of human lives down to a watery death. No, the preacher's message was about that other unsinkable ship, the frail boat on the Sea of Galilee, unsinkable because the master of land and sea was asleep on a pillow in the hinder part of the vessel. Thank God he still lives and rides the billows and controls the storms. And when the children of men take their only true pilot on board, we'll ride out the present storms and he will bring the vessel through the fair harbor of our hopes. Christ with us in the storms of life. Let's look at some things about that this morning. First of all, we see that this storm and the story of it was the result of a decision by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that said to them in verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. These storms were part of the will of God. The Savior knew the storm was coming, but he still told them to get into the boat. With Christ, it is not always smooth sailing, but it is safe. Those in his company are as safe as himself. He's in the boat with us. Thank God for the promises that he gives in that regard, that he is with us. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 27 tells us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. By the way, not only is he with us personally in our own lives, he's with us as a church. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's in our church. Psalm 46:5 says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He's with us. It, first of all, was a result of a decision, that of Christ, to let us pass over. By the way, when you accept Christ as Savior and you begin to do the will of God for your life, he will send you into some storm. But he always goes with us in those storms. Then we see, secondly, the ready to die. Verse number 37. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, I told a couple of weeks ago when I preached on the Sunday night, we gave a message about can faith and doubt ride together in the same boat. And we referred to the men's fishing trip. We're on the last evening before we came home. A lot of folks were trying to get their boats onto their trailers and had to pass through some very rough waters. Well, a little bit of the lake got into the preacher's boat. Right? Some of the lake got into my boat. It was the largest swell. It was on Lake Eufaula on the east end, down not by the dam, which is further south, but there's a long stretch there where the wind can get up an immense head. It was coming through there, probably 30, 40 miles an hour. I've never been on a boat with such swell. A little of the water got in. But the boat wasn't full. You're in big trouble when the water's in the boat. Full of water. Storm without. They were ready to die for two reasons. First of all, the storm without, winds of adversity will come from various quarters. Business may fail. A member of the family may have gone astray. Disease may come. Marital problems may be there. And then there's time, just everyday life, and tests, and tragedy. And I want you to notice this in this passage of the Scripture. But there were also, verse 36 says, also with him other little children. What goes on in one ship affects what goes on in the other ship. They were also there on the sea. But thank God for those other little ships. Think about it. Those other ships. You know, the Bible even uses the term ship in connection with some things. There's discipleship. And if our discipleship is not what it should be, then we'll tend to put prayer and church attendance and soul winning and tithing on a reduced schedule. There's stewardship. And if our stewardship is not what it ought to be, then we'll tend to reduce our giving and discipleship. But there are some other ships that are great to have along in a storm. First of all, there's friendship. Thank God for friendship. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 11 says this, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And we have a tendency to think, yeah, I'm the only one going through what I'm going through. I'm the only one that's suffering what I'm suffering. I'm the only one going through this trial. I'm the only one going through this temptation. The devil likes to isolate you. You better stay with the other little ships. There's friendship that'll ride along and help you through those times also. Verse number 10 says this, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Thank God for friendship when you're going through a storm, and companionship. Oh, two are better than one when you're going through trials. There's fellowship. Some of these are Bible words. Fellowship that helps reduce the pain. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, verse 3 and 4. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." That storm was raging, and Jesus is asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And they're very nervous. They think they're about to die. Wouldn't you if your boat was full of water? And the other little ships were experiencing the same things. Having somebody to go through it together with a sure help and a blessing. That's why I highly recommend the local church. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." 1 John chapter 3 also, verse 6 and 7, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Fellowship. There's worship, which helps to shift the focus from the storm to the master of the wind. There's apostleship. The word apostle in the Bible is referring to one who is sent. It's another term for a missionary. We call them missionaries. The same thing. Okay? People argue back, what should we call somebody? Well, if you want to call them a Bible term, call them an apostle. That's what they were called in the Bible. But don't get all worried about what you call somebody. Why don't you just go ahead and pray for them, support them, help them to get to the field and do what they're wanting to do. Amen? Apostleship takes the gospel to those without it and makes it possible for them to know the master that can still the storm and bring them to their desired haven of rest. There are many people all over this globe who've never even heard of Jesus Christ. They don't know that he is the master of the wind. Not only was the storm without a problem, but it was the sea within. When the sea gets in the ship, it's hopeless unless Christ is there to do something about it. Temptation, pride, money, or lack of it, lust, tired heart. You just get to the place where, not just physically, but emotionally, you're just worn down. Thank God, when the sea comes in, the master of the sea is there in the boat. We see next, thirdly, their request of desperation in verse number 38. "He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, when they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care?" But Jesus was not sleeping in indifference, but as a result of not being worried. Now, friends, We live in Oklahoma. We have a storm cellar. We didn't have one our whole life, but we had access to one after we were married for many years. Now we have one. And that old siren starts going. I'm not indifferent. Go to the storm cellar. Ride it out. Hope that it goes somewhere else, not hoping that it'll hit anybody. But just stay away from them. You see, the songwriter said it like this: does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, the second verse, does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When from my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? My sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see in the chorus to each of these questions answers? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Joseph was in prison. But in Genesis 39, verse 20 and 21, we find that the Lord was with Joseph. Jeremiah was in prison. In Jeremiah 33:3, when this wonderful promise came to him, it was then that God said unto him, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Job was in an ash heap. Job chapter 42 and verse number 10, when he prayed. The Lord returned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. The Lord also gave Job twice as much as he had before. A preacher tells this story from many years ago. During a heavy storm in the Mediterranean Sea, which lasted two whole days and nights, I was unable to get any sleep. The rolling of the vessel was so terrific. Two men were washed from the wheel, the pilot. And the lifeboat broke. Whilst lying awake hour after hour, I heard at intervals a voice calling out some words that I could not clearly distinguish amidst the roaring of the wind and waves, but which I took to be intended to cheer on the sailors in their perilous work. I afterwards found that it was the voice of the night watchman, who on completing his round each half hour during those two terrible days and nights was shouting each half hour, all is well. A couple of people got washed overboard. Lifeboats broken. He was saying, all is well. He said, I thought of the voice of Jesus as it rises above the storm, encouraging the despondent, tempest-tossed mariner in his voyage to the better land. Thank God that Jesus is in the ship. Number four, we see the response of the divine. That's the Lord Jesus. I just put that in there so it'd be alliterated somehow. As preachers think we have to do that. Nobody else really cares, I don't think. Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. When Jesus arises to help, all the resources of heaven, earth, God, and eternity are at his disposal. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 begins by saying, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. who hath delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is the one who can do all those things. And it goes on to say in verse 15 through 17, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, referring to the resurrection. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So Jesus, lying asleep, we wake him up. Master, carest thou not that we perish? He stood up. I don't know what he was thinking, but I know what he said. He might have been thinking, I'm the one that made you wind. I'm the one that made the waves. Peace! Be still. You ever been on a lake in a boat? The wind's been blowing hard and it pretty quickly settles down, but the waves don't go away. Take them a while. All that turbulence to settle down. Imagine that. As soon as he said, peace, the wind stopped, and be still. It's calm. All of a sudden, those in the other ships experienced the same thing. What happened? Master, there in that other ship, everything in his ship, the ship that he's in, affects the other ship. Oh. He didn't rebuke them at this moment in their distress. He talked to them about their lack of faith later, but he didn't rebuke them. He rebuked the cause of their distress. Songwriter said it like this, blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By his grace I shall prevail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds. We see, fifthly, the reaching of their destination. Notice what it says there. Chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, in the country of the Gadarenes. He said to them, let's pass over to the other side. It was finished by saying, they came over unto the other side. Hey, your soul is just as guaranteed a place with God from the time you accept the Savior into the ship, no matter what comes your way. No matter what. Pastor Tom Fry told this true story in a message. He said there was a gifted musician by the name of Joseph Webster. He was often tormented with feelings of sadness and anxiety, suffered some depression, severe depression at times. On one occasion, when he was going through just a severe melancholy mood, they used to call it, he had a visit from an acquaintance by the name of Fillmore Bennett. He knew that Webster was a songwriter and had written some wonderful hymns. Knowing that that was the one way he could keep Webster from brooding over his problems, he said, you need to write a hymn. Webster answered, well, I'm just not in the frame of mind to do that. He said, well, why don't we do it together? So Mr. Fillmore tried to guide Mr. Webster into wanting to write. He asked what was causing him to have trouble with his getting his thoughts together. Mr. Webster said something like this, I'm just going through some problems right now, but it'll be all right by and by. Right away, Fillmore said, there's your song right there. In the sweet by and by. In about 30 minutes between those two men, they wrote the lyrics that are still in our hymn books. It goes something like this, there's a land that's fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. We shall, the second verse, we shall sing on that beautiful shore all the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirit shall sorrow no more for us, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. The third, to our bountiful Father above, we shall offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. And the chorus of course, after each of these verses, in the sweet by and by, we shall sing on that beautiful shore and repeat it in the sweet by and by. We shall sing on that beautiful shore. And in conclusion, may I say, sixthly, what's the reason that they weren't destroyed? First of all, it was because of who He was and who He is. They said, isn't that unusual? All of a sudden, they weren't afraid of the wind anymore because it was gone in the waves. Then they get afraid and say, who is this guy in the boat with us? They were afraid. Not what He wanted them to be. They were afraid. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, this is who He is. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? What manner of man is this? The songwriter said it like this, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall seek sweetly obey Thy will. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. They weren't destroyed because of who He was, because of what He said. He said to them, let us pass over. Whatever He says is going to come to pass. Imagine what it was like for all those other little ships out there too. There was nobody in Jesus' boat crying out to them, all is well. They'd have probably said, who's that crazy person over there? When it was all over, they all came safely to the other side. One day when Stonewall Jackson, great name in history, with his sister-in-law was crossing the boiling torrent just below the American Falls at Niagara in a little slight boat manned by two oarsmen. How many have ever been below the falls there and got up close to falls at Niagara? Anybody ever done that? They have tours for that. They don't send you out there in a rowboat. Really? My wife and I have been there. If they offer you a rain jacket, take it. I'll just tell you that. But they were in a slight boat manned by two oarsmen. The current so swirled the boat that the lady, his sister-in-law that he was with, at the time, I don't know if his wife was in the boat also, but she was very distressed. His sister-in-law was distressed. She became terrified, believing they were going to the bottom. Jackson seized her by the arms and turned to one of the men and said, how often have you crossed here? He said, I've been rowing people across, sir, for 12 years. Did you ever meet with an accident? Never, sir. Never were capsized? Never lost a life? Nothing of the kind, sir. Then turning with somewhat of a stern tone, he said to his sister-in-law, you hear what the boatman says, and unless you think you can take the oars and row better than he does, just sit still and trust him as I. Wouldn't it be good if we, when going through a storm, have the same attitude? I'm not going to pretend that it's easy. It's always easier to preach about things than it is to live through them or do them. But thank God for the master of the week. Let me ask you to bow your head. Heads are bowed. I wonder if there might be someone that would say, you know, I don't even know for sure if I know Christ as my Savior. I don't know if I've accepted him or not. If something was to happen to me and I were to die, I do not know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I don't know if Jesus is in the ship with me or not, but I'd like to know more about that. Somebody like that here this morning, no one looking around. You'd be just honest enough to say, preacher, I just want to split my hand up big and high and take it right back down. And so doing, I'm saying, I do not know whether or not I know Christ as my Savior or not. Is there one? Is there one? Heads are bowed. I won't embarrass you or point you out. Anybody? Like to pray a general prayer. Anybody like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether or not I know Christ. I speak. Maybe you're here and the Lord spoke to your heart. Maybe you're going through a storm. Maybe you just came out of a storm. Seems like you're going into another storm. Aren't you glad that Christ is with us in the storms of life? Let me ask you to stand together with your head bowed in an attitude of prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer. Pastor Taylor will be standing here at the front. If there's a public decision you need to make, such as receiving Christ as Savior or following him in baptism after your salvation, or maybe it's joining the church, whatever it is, he'll be here. You don't know that you know Christ, even if you didn't lift your hand, if you're unsure about it, I encourage you to respond. Come and speak to him here and say, you know, I need to know more about that. I need to be sure that Christ is in my life. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for laying on the hearts of those who sang the special. Sing of the exact very thing that the message was. Lord, bless the time we have during the invitation. Speak the heart we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.